So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to look at this with me. Look at verse 12 of chapter 1 of Philippians. We're walking through starting last week, and we're going to walk through it for a couple months here, this letter to the Philippian church. So let's look at verse 12 together. Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Now, I can't get over this. Think about this. What has happened to me, and by the way, what has happened to him isn't a bunch of roses and cotton candy, but notice here he says, has served to advance the gospel. That word advance is the idea of a military blazing the trail, going towards their enemy, like clearing its path, going toward the thing that would go against it. It's advancing. And what has happened to him is he's been imprisoned essentially for sharing the gospel, for bringing, if you remember in Acts 21, bringing the Gentiles into the temple, doing all these things that really undermined for them the Jewish leaders at the time. So they arrested him. He went from one leader to another leader to another leader. We'll call that out in a moment. But he does this, and he's shipwrecked, beaten multiple times, left for dead, bitten by snakes. And then here he is. He says, in prison, this has served to advance the gospel. It's really worked out. And here's how. Verse 13, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. So notice what he sees in the midst of all that he's endured, that there was a purpose behind it that God used. That God was gracious and kind and compassionate to take all that he did and help him see that it was greater than the pain that he dealt with. And notice this other benefit. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So notice this fruit that happens as a result of Paul's faithfulness despite what he endured, despite the fact of imprisonment and beating and all these other setbacks. Now, there's a variety of things that I want us to catch here. Notice his resolve here that he's in prison, that he's done all this, is that the gospel's going forth. Now, here are some of the people that have been his audience in all this. Starting in Acts 21, it goes through all the magistrates of Herod, the Roman military officers, the chiliarchs who were over 1,000 men, the centurions that were over 100 men, Roman soldiers in Jerusalem and Caesarea heard the gospel because of him. Because of this that happened to him. Two Roman governors, Felix and Festus, and their wives, also Herod Agrippa, and then now the imperial guard that's going to the emperor of Rome is hearing the gospel because he's imprisoned. You see that he is able to have a perspective over all that he's going through. Now notice this additional resolve in verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. So there were a group of people that were preaching the true gospel, but they were doing so with motives that were false. They were doing it in a way that to basically hold it in front of Paul saying, hey, we're preaching the gospel still, you're in prison. But then there were others that were doing it from goodwill, with a good heart. It says, the latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking in some way to afflict me in my imprisonment. And then notice in the text, it says, what then? So yesterday I had an opportunity to meet with my friend, and he pointed out that the NIV says, what does it matter? What does it matter then? Only that in every way, listen to this, whether in pretense or in truth, listen to this resolve, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Let me make you a solid promise. You will experience times of setback, suffering, pain, hardship some way. All of us, because we're all different, will have it in a variety of different ways. That's a promise. As my professor, who was the librarian of our college, said, I guarantee promise you. That's how he said it. But that's it. That you will have it. So that's not the issue. The issue is, how will you respond to it? What kind of resolve will you come with? Because many of us, our resolve is not there. Many of us, when circumstance hits us sideways and really shakes us up, we falter because our resolve isn't in Christ. It's not looking to Him. It's in our circumstance. And let me tell you, many of us in here have had some shaky circumstances. And so I want us to reframe here. And just know that this reframing is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. It isn't something that you can muster up with your own strength, thinking that you can just bootstrap it and figure it out. That's not possible. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in you. So we see his resolve. He had a love for Christ's glory more than his own, because notice at the end it says, either way, what difference does it make? Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. But here's some things we need to do, some takeaways for us in light of this example from Paul. For us, we need to understand that our setbacks do not have to be lethal. They don't have to crush us. They actually can be restorative. They actually can reshape us. God's Spirit can actually use these things to mold us into His image. If you remember last week, He that has begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. That's this process where God graciously uses these things to shape us into His image in sanctification. And so, if it's restorative, then that means there's something that can be done for us and a perspective that we can have. And I want to share this with you. The sting of suffering is removed when the glory of Christ is your concern. Listen to that again. The sting of suffering. Suffering is real. Each of us will face it in a variety of ways. We'll face it through loss. We'll face it through health issues. We'll face it through financial issues. We'll face it in marital crisis. We'll face it when a variety of things just really come after us, it seems. But the sting of it is removed when the glory of Christ is our concern. When we say, no matter what, I understand it's going to hit me, and it's going to hit me hard, but I want to have the perspective that my eye is turned towards Christ, and no matter what comes my way, I'm looking for Him. I'm looking for Him to be known in this situation. As I walk through this, I want Him to be seen. As I really endure through this suffering, I want God to be glorified, even though this is painful. The sting of it is taken away. The pain's real, but the sting of it, the ultimateness of it is taken out because Christ can be glorified through my weakness, through my brokenness, through my pain. And even for some of us, like, this is real. So the sting of jealousy, he had this opportunity to be jealous of these guys who were out there preaching, who are trying to rub it in his face, and the sting of jealousy is removed when the glory of Christ is your concern. Think about all the things that that relates to in your life. When things aren't perfect with my spouse, the sting of that, even though right now we got some work to do, the sting of that is taken away when Christ's glory is my concern. When we have a perspective beyond our moment, it begins to transform how we see and respond everywhere. And I just want us to see this. Paul here, and hopefully we get to this place as well, Paul has an uncommon response because he has an uncommon Savior. Paul has an uncommon response because he's got an uncommon Savior. Many of us, you think, I've got an uncommon Savior, but let me just tell you, your money is not going to save you. Because what happens when you lose it all? Your health is not going to save you. Because what happens when you get that diagnosis? Right? What happens when your spouse leaves you? That's not going to save you. We've got all these things, these false things that we're trying to make a resolve with, and these are common saviors. The uncommon one is sent from God the Father to us, His Son, to take on flesh, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross for our sin, and resurrected to new life to give us hope past this one. That's uncommon. And so Paul's uncommon resolve, his uncommon response is as a result of this. And I want to invite you to have an uncommon response based on an uncommon Savior. So that when, not if things go against you, when they come against you, you're able to endure because you do it for Christ's glory, because you've got an uncommon Savior. So if I were to basically interview Paul and set him down here, give him the mic and ask him these questions, okay? And these are some of the framed questions that we're going to walk through as we interpret the book of Philippians together as a church. I want to encourage you. Last week we talked about it. 2 weeks ago we talked about it in our Alongsider Guide, the Blue Book. I want to encourage you to take that book home. If you don't have anybody to read that with, I want to encourage you with your spouse if you're married. There's some guys we can connect you with. Women, there's some women we can connect you with. If you need that, let us know. Just put that on the worship guide. Just write that out. Give it to me or Matt on your way out, and we would love to do that. But here is a way that we're going to frame Philippians as we go forward. So I'm interviewing Paul, and I would ask him these questions. The first question is, who is God? Then I would ask him, what has he done? Then I would ask him, who are you? What do you do in response to those things? And how do you do it? First question I would ask him, so who is God, Paul? Paul would respond, he's the sovereign over all creation. He's on his throne, so nothing that I face will shake him. Nothing that I face will surprise him. Then I would say, well, Paul, what has he done? Well, he sent his son to die for sinners like me. He actually raised him from the dead to give me hope in this life for the next. Well, Paul, who are you in light of those things? He would say, I'm the redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am adopted of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a co-heir with Christ. Okay, then what do you do in light of that? Well, I walk in his mission and what he's called me to. And what else? I proclaim Christ whenever, wherever, to whoever God puts in front of me. And then how do you do this, Paul? I do it through the power of the Holy Spirit with boldness, and I do it with clarity. So let's reframe those questions with us in mind, right? And him helping us see this, right? Who is God? And we could say, based on Scripture, he is sovereign over all creation. He's on his throne. Nothing that I face shakes him up or surprises him. What has he done? He sent his son to die for us, and he basically resurrected him from the dead. Now I have hope because Christ is alive. And who are we? We're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're co-heirs with Christ. We're sons and daughters of God. And what do we do in light of those truths? And let me press a pause button and direct this to you for your understanding. So I always remind us here at Grace. Yes, Paul was a preacher and a missionary of God, Holy Spirit called, just like you. Different audience for him, but each of you in this room are a missionary of the gospel if you're a follower of Jesus. You have a divine call on your life. You didn't have to go to seminary to get it. You don't have to go to seminary to prepare for it, but some of us need it because some of us are a little weak in that. That's what I had to do. But you here, you need to know that where you live, where you work, where you play is your mission field. That the Spirit of God has uniquely called and shaped each one of you to go into. It's not an accident. And so your story, your testimony, whatever God has allowed in your life and whatever giftings he's given you based on your time, your treasure, your talents, any of those things can be ways that you can leverage for the glory of God, for Christ to be seen and known in your life. And so what do? You walk in that mission. You proclaim Jesus wherever you are. And how do you do it? Filled with the Holy Spirit, with boldness and with clarity. So again, the sting of suffering is removed when the glory of Christ is your concern. So church, this is what we do. So today, what difference does it make? When I ask Mrs. Carolyn, I says, Mrs. Carolyn, would you mind doing this? I know this is a tough question. She come in all timid with me. She says, would you let me interview you in front of the church? And her response was, her condition was, if you think it could help. Your story that God has uniquely woven in your life is not just for you. You need to know that. You need to walk in that. You need to own it. You have an opportunity to point to him to basically say that my weakness is an opportunity for Christ's strength to be seen and known. And no, I know it's not easy, but he is with us. So let's walk in this together as a church, okay? Let's pray.